Good morning and welcome to the Community Connection. I am joined on the phone today by Gail Barnes. You have a PhD in food sustainability, is that correct?
Applied chemistry. I've been working in the area of food sustainability for a long time now.
Oh, okay. So what my problem is, I live in Southern Illinois, and just down the road from me is a grain elevator, and they've got grain sitting on the ground. And I'm just, because they just don't have enough storage space for all the grain they have. Is food sustainability something we should be thinking about?
It absolutely is, you know, and one of the things, though, you know, with your grain elevator that's at least good in Illinois is how cold it is now. I'm quite close to you, actually, and so we're having a cold winter, but sustainability is important, and making sure that we've got a good supply of food at all times is important, which is one of the things I want to talk to your folks to about today, is the importance of growing food in water as well as on soil, and then particularly three ocean superfoods.
Oh, really?
Yes, absolutely. You know, seaweed is used in sushi, and it's absolutely packed with nutrients. And one of those nutrients is called carrageenan, and it's a really, really important source of protein. It's a natural plant fiber from red seaweed. And for all of those of us who love dairy, we will be consuming this already in our yogurt, our ice cream, sour cream, cottage cheese, all the lovely comfort foods of winter. If we teeny weeny, it's in infant formula. Also in coffee beverages, creamers, and nutritional drinks. So all of that actually coming from seaweed. You know, I said it was rich in protein, 50 grams per 3.5 ounces of nori is the stuff that they wrap the sushi in. So next time you're checking out and you see that sushi and you see that seaweed wrap on it, that's really, really good stuff.
Are we going to see seaweed added to more products? We're going to see on the label, now with seaweed for better nutrition.
Well, we should, you know, because there are lots of good things in seaweed. You know, I mentioned carrageenan, and I have to also say, I always think of it at this time of the year. But some of the health benefits of things like carrageenan are reducing cholesterol, reducing inflammation, but my personal favorite, fighting colds and viruses. I read a study recently where they showed that using a spray that contained carrageenan would reduce the duration of a cold significantly. Now, isn't that good news? We are all going to catch the snuffles in winter, but if we can press fast forward on that, that's a good thing. Get it over with.
That's right. Get it over with. And anything to help you get it over with faster is better.
Exactly. So, you know, that's why these superfoods that I mentioned, so seaweed, sea lettuce, sea moss, and, you know, while one is eating stuff that does one's body good, it's also good to know that you're helping the health of the ocean. Now, you could say, Gail, now how is eating seaweed and red seaweed going to help the ocean? Well, what it happens is it increases the biodiversity of the ocean. And in terms of people, it has lifted thousands and thousands of families out of poverty and improved their economic well-being, as well as the social fabric in countries like Southeast Asia and Africa, which is where these seaweeds are farmed and grown. And, instead of having destructive industries, can you imagine dynamite fishing and reef crawling? They can grow seaweed, increase the biodiversity of the ocean, shorten the length of time that we may have a cold, and be this super rich source of protein. It's this really virtuous circle.
Yeah.
You know, there's some things one can feel really good about eating, and red seaweed is one of those.
Hmm. So how do they farm seaweed?
Well,
they
grow it in the ocean, kind of on, what's the best way to describe it? Sort of like a, it's not wire, it's rope that, you know, that they, thin, I'm forgetting, oh, the sort of technical term for the kind of a thin thread.
So it's like when they do oysters, farm oysters. They lower ropes into the ocean, and then the oysters grow on the ropes.
Very, very similar, absolutely. And, anything green that is fixing carbon dioxide is, of course, a very, very good thing as well. And talking about things that are green, I'm looking outside, and there's not very much greenery. But I've got into hydroponics, and I've got this little patch of green heaven in my kitchen,
right?
Which is a little commercial hydroponic system that I got myself for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
I'm 31 days into growing. It's got a little display, tells me how I'm doing. And, oh, Tom, my herbs. It's herb heaven in that little grower. You know, they're about six
really?
Inches. No, yes, the basil. The curly cress is coming up. I have to tell you, the dill was a disappointment. I keep regarding my dill, and my dill is not doing well.
I've always had problems with dill for some reason. Growing dill is just been really tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's the fact that it alliterates with difficult dill, you know. I try and give it the dill pep talk every morning to get to grow like the rest. But the thyme, the basil, you know, you can grow spinach, lettuce, watercress, cherry tomatoes, even cucumbers, peppers, kale, strawberries. My mint is doing well as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's enough now for me to harvest for two people when we have our, I love mac and cheese as comfort food for winter. And I can add this shrubbery bounce, you know, this beautiful green basil that I literally clip off my little bush and straight on top of the dish, or, you know, I grind it up in a pestle and mortar with a little bit of olive oil to make pesto, some
mm-hmm.
pine nuts. Delicious and so fresh. You don't get fresher. You know, in winter living where we do, we don't often, unless we've got a greenhouse, you know, get lucky enough to go outside and pick fresh stuff to eat.
Right.
But hydroponics, and you can do it if you've got a basement or if you've got an enclosed porch or, you know, somewhere that's a bit warmer than it is outside right now. And you don't need to get expensive stuff to do it. You know, get yourself a bucket, some PVC pipe, a PhD testing kit, you know,
right.
Some plant zips, some kind of nutrient tank, you know, holder. 50 gallons is ideal if you want to get into serious, you know,
right.
Vegetable hydroponic stuff. But then you're in business. Of course, you do need the growing lights as well. One bit of advice I would give to folks is to say, look at what wattage your growing lights are and make sure then that the plants that you choose are going to, it's the right kind of strength of light that they're going to be
mm-hmm.
getting. I didn't do that so well. I should have gone with the sort of the 45-watt growing lights, and I'm at 20. And I can see my thyme is struggling. You know, when a plant gets etiolated, it kind of gets long and skinny,
mm-hmm.
and it's trying to grow towards the light. So the lights are at the right height for the basil. but not at the right height for the time. So that's the one tip I would give, is think about what you're going to grow in there. Of course, if you're doing all cherry tomatoes, that's perfect, you know, because you're not going to get different heights of plant or plants coming up at different times. Mm-hmm. Think about what you're growing, and just think it may be worth it to make that extra investment to get lights that are a little bit stronger. You know, mine are doing okay, and I'm certainly not going to replace them, you know, the whole little system, just because I didn't think through the lights. But, you know, that's learning curve, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, that's why we have programs like yours, so we can learn new stuff.
So how are the plants anchored? How do they stay upright if you're growing them hydroponically?
They come in like little cages almost.
Oh.
So then, and there's a kind of a, to get them started, there's a little sort of solid plug of material that they can attach to. But then the roots grow out from that and into the water. And oh my goodness, are we talking root growth? You know, I feed them every 2 weeks. And one does have to give them some nutrients to help them to grow. And if one is concerned about things like GMOs, you know, you can get GMO-free seeds and little plants and starter kits, and then, of course, the nutrients as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you just need the water, and that's the great thing about hydroponics. 80% less water than compared to soil. And one thing that is absolutely true, when they say that these plants grow fast, they are not kidding, you know.
Okay.
I've seen leaf size double in size overnight, literally.
Wow.
You know, it's almost unbelievable how fast photosynthesis can actually work. Nature's little factory sitting in those leaves, and literally, you know, what is a dime size leaf one day can land up being two dimes or even three. It's phenomenal. So that's not, I've seen some people even say five times stronger. And I think if you've got the right growing lights, I don't think that's a stretch at all. When these little guys grow on fast forward, so, you know, I had stuff that I could eat within about 2 to 3 weeks.
Really?
Which is
okay.
So long. Yeah, yeah, and you know the thing about growing your own food inside, you watch it every day. I think it's just so lovely to watch something green growing in winter. And you can grow flowers too, and I've just got a second little system, and I'm going to start the lavender in it. We've got a workroom in our basement, and it's not very light down there. One of the things that these little units do, the growing lights push out a lot of light. So when it's the darkest time of the year, which is, you know, just over the winter solstice, it was actually the brightest time in my kitchen because of the growing lights. So I'm going to put the lavender downstairs in a new little hydroponic unit. It's going to smell great. It's going to look great.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be, you know, a source of light as well. And light is just so good for us at this
okay.
time of the year.
How do you go about replacing what you've harvested in the hydroponic system?
Well, eventually when you've kind of cut them down so much that they're not growing anymore, or I think what's going to be a limiting factor is when they actually, when the roots completely fill the little container and they are doing their best with that, then you just take, pull them out,
mm-hmm.
and, the ideal thing then is to actually, if you've got composting going, to put the roots and any stuff that you take out, put it into your compost would be perfect. And then you just wash out your container. They recommend that you kind of give it a wash out with bleach, you know, any kind of slime or biomaterial that you see growing on the inside, of course, clean out. if you use bleach, just rinse out really, really well. And then you're back in business. You kind of start over again.
Mm, okay. Hydroponics is really kind of taking giant leaps in the last few years, isn't it?
It is, you know, because one of the things is that we just don't have enough land using traditional agriculture to be able to give us the food we need. You know, a statistic is that if we say stuck to the USDA dietary guidelines, we'd need 1 gigahectare of additional land. Now you can say, how big is that? That's roughly the size of Canada, you know, under current farming practice. That's why we need to start approaching our diets as an environmental issue, in addition, of course, to being a health issue. And the beauty about hydroponics and things like seaweeds from the ocean is you can combine all of that in a kind of a holistic approach for yourself, the environmental issues along with your health issues, to make sure that you're eating protein-rich foods that have got benefits, you know, lowering cholesterol, reducing inflammation, fighting colds and viruses. And you can do all of that by eating, growing your own food hydroponically, eating things like ocean-grown seaweed, lettuce, and sea moss. And, you know, the thing is, there was another food scare today. This time, it was confectionery. In fact, it was hepatitis A. You know, this should not be happening. And all the lettuce scares we had. So
right.
One of the things that makes me very happy when I harvest my, you know, basil or whatever, is that no hands have gone near that except mine. And, you know, I've got good kitchen practice. If I was a manufacturing plant, we'd call it good manufacturing practice.
Right.
You know, of course, wash your hands every time you touch your plants. Touching them is wonderful because you actually get the smell of the herbs on your fingers, which is gorgeous. But so just make sure that your fingers are clean when you actually do that.
Now, are we seeing more businesses get into hydroponics to raise their own lettuces and herbs for their meals? I know my daughter's college recently, last year, they celebrated the fact that they got this shipping container, which they turned into a hydroponic lab to grow all the lettuce for the and other vegetables for the cafeteria. Are we seeing a lot more of that? Are a lot more businesses getting into hydroponic farming?
I think so. Absolutely, yes. You know, Elon Musk's brother has got something very similar going out on the East Coast, where they've got a kind of container farm. Containers are perfect for doing this kind of vertical farming, is what some people call it as well. Absolutely. You know, it's in the college as well, it's the perfect environment, you know, especially when students are studying something like biology. It really brings home the lessons, that whether they're learning about how photosynthesis works or climate change or any other, you know, aspect. It's wonderful that they can get hands-on, actually do this and be able to complete the cycle and eat it. And no doubt, you know, a safer food source and possibly also, you know, a more economical food source for colleges. I know that there are a number of, up Wisconsin way, there are a number of hydroponic vegetable kind of farms going as well. And uh-huh. I really will see more of it. In Chicago, I believe there is an old building that has been taken over, and given new life. You know, it was literally just standing there doing nothing.
Abandoned.
Abandoned, exactly. So it's an indoor farm now, and in summer they have a green roof as well, so that you can, they've got the combination of, you know, the indoor during the winter, of course, and then they've got the roof where you can go out in summer. It's a really nice way of climate control to have a green roof. But I think, you know, the college is always the places where it starts. And then when your daughter goes out, you know, she's going to want to go and eat. And there are restaurants that I've seen downtown Chicago, gorgeous, where they've got green walls. You know, my family doesn't know it, but I look at my little growing system that I have now, and I actually see a wall of green. Why not? You know, I thought I would start small because I need to learn how to do it. And there's no way, I think, you know, then to get hands-on like your daughter is at her college is the very best way to learn stuff.
Okay.
You know, the difficulties one will have with one's dill, for example, or whatever. And I think more and more people will, and I think our kids, they're going to show us the way, you know, for those of us who maybe haven't read about it or heard about it. They're going to come home and say, you know, look what I did this term.
Right. Well, they have a whole display at Epcot Center. So on hydroponic farming, they grow a lot of the vegetables used in Epcot at the from the hydroponic farm that they give tours of. So what about your hydroponic? How much does it cost to get involved in small farming, at least small vegetables for your home?
Well, if you make your own, and you know, I mentioned what you need, garden hose you probably have lying around, ditto with plant clips, nutrient tank, you know, anything that can hold a reasonable quantity of water is going to do fine. There are wonderful videos on YouTube to do it your own.
Oh, okay.
DIY. So you can MacGyver it for everything. If you're already a gardener, I'm pretty certain that you can MacGyver it with what you can find on YouTube.
All right, Gail. that's great. Thank you for talking. Is there anything else we need to know?
Well, you can follow my adventures with my herbs on Twitter and Instagram at ZAGRRL, and I'm not a big cook, but I have photos when I do include them in recipes. You know, very for me, it's going to be very simple stuff one can do. Yeah. So,
okay.
And let me know how your veggies are doing if you're growing them indoors this year.
Okay, we've been talking to Gail Barnes. She is a food sustainability expert, and that's going to do it for today on the Community Connection.